right. Good day, all those folks who are listening in here through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here with us. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in California, the town of Magalia. Today it is December the 26th, the day after Christmas, 2016. And it is going to be a Monday evening episode of Winfrey His Broadcast. And I have not received an email yet from him with the announcement for tonight's call. So I do not know what... Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Good evening to you, John. Welcome to the call.
Welcome, Hans.
All right. All right, I want to announce again that every Wednesday we do also have a call, same time as... If you have questions, you can submit those per email. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie in California.
Good evening to you, Bonnie. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, very good. I'm glad to be here.
All right. I'm glad to be here as well. And every Sunday, we do have call in the morning, in the a.m. hours, for California at least, at 10 a.m. Pacific. It's a two-hour call. Do we have another person join in?
Yes, Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Hush.
Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name or location.
Hi, it's Vicki from Westlake Village.
Hello, Vicki. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
So quiet.
And people started coming in very late this evening. Only like away from the hour. And, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Good evening, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, how are you?
Doing well, and I thank you for being here.
Good to be here.
All right.
Hey, Heist, did you listen to the New Year's Eve call?
Not yet, no. I do have the recording, but I haven't listened to it yet. Did you?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
Well, I was on it. It's quite good. You might want to watch.
Yes, okay. I sure will. You had somebody else join in? Good
evening. Were you guys talking about how to get to the Saturday call?
Pardon?
Yes, the replay with spoke with the Joshua.
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
I was listening to it, but I was driving and I went through a canyon, and it went off just as you know. I was in part two, and I can't listen to the whole thing again. So
you fast forward to
this. Where the meat of it is at.
Let me first see, because we had more people join in here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Demetrius.
Dimitri, welcome, my friend.
Glad to hear your voice.
Good to have you, man. Who else is here? Please say your name and location. All right, then. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Unless you're Terry, then...
This is
hi, Terry.
Terry in Sedona. Hi.
Good to have you, my sister. How are you?
Hi, good. Terry.
Hi.
Our
Terry,
sister.
I'm back.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Who else came in here? Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hi, Ron. Good evening to you.
How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Good.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hello, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. I almost forgot. I get confused with the whole Planet Healing call. And then I think it's supposed to start at 8. And then I think this call is supposed to start at 8.
Not a robot.
Pardon me? What'd you say, John?
Oh, that was Chris. I was saying I wasn't a robot. I was doing something online. And I was talking out loud. Sorry.
Were you accusing me of being a robot?
Well, I was trying to convince the computer I'm not a robot. I don't know about you.
All right. Well, let's get started, okay? And, Jerry, are you here?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I'm here.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 26, 2016, when Interi in Sedona and everyone everywhere. And, you know, what I was just going to send out was some more comments. What I was going to do tonight is I have some more things to talk about. This conversation we had with Jesus and everyone else, I'm sure I'm still on it, okay? One interesting thing Terry and I did today is we did a session again, and I asked the question in the session about, you know, they validated that Pamela was talking to Jesus over a year ago. Hang on, let me mute.
Is it Pamela Cribb?
We can't hear you, Wynn.
Okay, there we go. Chimes are off.
I did it already.
Oh, you did it before I started?
Yes. No. Just after I heard the first ding. But is it Pamela Cribb from Holland who's channeling for you?
No. Okay. Her name is Pamela. I can never get her. Ariane or something like that. I never get her name quite right. But, so, it was quite some time ago.
When?
Yeah.
When? It's Arolyn.
Arolyn.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. You looked her up, right?
Yeah.
Did you listen to some of her other sessions?
Sorry, I had to unmute again. I'm in the middle of listening to an almost three-hour channeling with Jesus, and man, is she good.
Right.
Oh, man,
right.
She's good. It's so, okay. So, I don't know. I won't take up your more time, but she's good.
No, that's okay, because still her last name, so other people can look her up. A-R-A, Arolyn, Arolyn, is it?
I think it's, let me go here. Hold one second. I'm pretty sure I have it right. Hold on one second. A-A-R-A-L-Y-N.
Okay, A-A-R-A-L-Y-N. And she has things up on YouTube.
On YouTube,
She's getting quite a bit of people listening to her, you know?
Yeah, she's the real deal.
Yeah. So, you know, I did a session today. I mean, I had that feeling. I had the feeling it was real, but I just like to triple check everything. And I asked the question again. I said, were we talking to Jesus or Yeshua? And again, she said, yes. Or, no, she didn't say yes. Ra'an said yes, okay? And then I asked, I said, about what percentage of distortion is there in her sessions? In other words, people have bleed through, and at different times they will give me an answer. And again, I have to, you know, take everything with a grain of salt. Or I shouldn't say a grain of salt. That's not, when I'm using channeling to validate channeling, and all channeling can have distortions in it, you can't take an answer and make it absolute, okay? Because how do I know that I'm not having some distortion in through Terry? But I ask the questions anyway, and Terry, over time, has proven herself to be pretty accurate. And where a channel can sometimes lose it, and it doesn't mean it's negative, but where they can lose it is where you ask a question, I ask a question, where the channel has some level of distortion or some very strong preconceived idea about something, in which case there can be bleed through from the channel's mind, okay? And Terry knows this. Like, for example, for a long time, and some of you will remember this, when we're talking about health things, Terry would always recommend, and it sounded like the Elohim were recommending, and maybe they were endorsing it, but it was in Terry's mind, her famous health, alternative health guy, is this person, Dr. Marshall. And they would always pick Dr. Marshall, and it would come out in a channeling. But they would never pick anyone that Terry didn't know, okay? But it was okay because Dr. Marshall was good. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, do you want to comment about that since I'm talking about you in front of you?
Well, Dr. Marshall is a kinesiologist. He uses kinesiology, and he's very good at determining what a person is lacking in their nutritional area.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not answering what I said, though. What I'm saying is, I know you have a huge amount of respect for Dr. Marshall.
Yes.
But when we're doing a channeling and you're recommending Dr. Marshall, would you say that's bleed through? Or would you say it's an impartial choice from the Elohim? You follow what I'm saying? I'm giving an example of how bleed through can occur. And, you know, they never picked a person that you never heard of and say, check this person out, or go to this person. You know, they would always recommend somebody that you knew, okay? And usually Dr. Marshall, okay? So I'm just pointing out an example of bleed through. It has no reflection. We've had people that have gone to Dr. Marshall and had great results, or even had a consultation with him over the phone, but he's expensive, right?
Yeah.
Really, yeah. And Dr. Marshall is the guy that had a radio show for a long, long time and built his following over small radio shows, I think, right?
Well, he had two clinics. where he saw people, and he had a really good track record of healings.
But people would find them through the radio shows.
Yeah.
That's where you found them. I'm not diminishing them at all. In fact, it's probably one of the better choices somebody could make if they needed a therapist. But I'm just pointing it out as an example of bleed through, okay? A potential example of bleed through. You know, we could have a session and ask them sometime about that, you know? Or maybe they endorsed him as well, and they looked at him through you, and it was okay. Do you follow? I mean, when you're channeling, they are in your mind, right?
Right.
So they see, they can look at things that are in your mind and recommend something that's in your mind, or you're recommending it. I don't know exactly how the mechanism works. What I do understand is in a total trance channel, like Edgar Cayce with a total trance channel, it's where, on one hand, it's more dangerous because the channel cannot monitor what's coming through them. They can't decide, is this negative? They can't make any decision. They just get taken over by the source. And with Edgar Cayce, he seemed to have an extreme ability to tune, to speak things that Edgar Cayce himself as the person couldn't possibly know. If you ever read some of the things that happened, there's one thing I remember where a guy needed a certain supplement. They told him, his source told him he needed a supplement. And then he said he couldn't find it. And then they said, go to this drugstore. He went to the drugstore, and they couldn't find it. And then he went back and asked them. They didn't have it. And so Edgar Cayce's source told the guy, tell him to look on the second shelf back behind the aspirin. I don't know if it was the aspirin. I'm making that up. But, you know, they just directed him exactly to where that supplement is. And he went back, told the guy, and they found it. So that was an extraordinary example of the precision of Cayce when he was in a trance and didn't and just let go completely. Except Cayce brought through some negative sources, and he didn't have a clue that he was bringing through negative sources. And some of them got quoted. When you're channeling, you're not exactly in a trance, although sometimes you can't remember what happened. And when you're in the moment, I guess it's how much of the moment you're in that where you just let go and they start talking. Am I right?
Yeah.
But you're not totally in a trance because you're still filtering what's coming through.
Sometimes it's like I'm in the trance, and then after the channeling, I maybe remember it, but then memories just gradually goes away of what was asked and what was said.
Mm-hmm. So, in any case, Pamela seems to be present to notice. I haven't asked her this, but she seems to be present and aware of what's being said through her. I don't know how much she remembers afterwards, but she seems to be present. But in any case, our sources said, when I said what percentage is Pamela accurate, she said 98%. But then they said, sometimes depending on the question, the accuracy can go down. Because it depends if the question goes into something where she has a strong disposition about. With Carla Rucker, oftentimes they would say that they couldn't answer a question because it would violate the, what's the word? Violate the belief patterns of Carla, okay? It wasn't belief patterns, the bias of Carla. And everyone has a bias or a filter or whatever. So it doesn't come through like it's distorted information through Carla. It just didn't come through. They said, we're not going to answer that. Because if a person has a belief pattern, in other words, in Carla's belief patterns, Jesus was her personal savior. She would say that. And her Lord. So they wouldn't say anything that would counter that in a channeling, for one example. So it's like, in my case, I take a lot of things under consideration. For example, when I first met Terry Friedman, I went through a lot of questions that were testing type questions. And one of them had to do with John the Beloved, which I talked about, being homosexual. And I thought I knew John the Beloved in this life, as someone who was connected to John the Beloved. And then I asked about Judas to Terry Friedman. And that was on the call, and Terry said that Judas was following Jesus' orders. He didn't betray Jesus. He was following his orders. And in the raw material through Carla Rucker, the raw material said Judas was following Jesus' orders. And then when I was talking to Yeshua, Yeshua said Judas was following his orders. And, you know, I don't recall ever reading anyone else saying that Judas was following Jesus' orders, okay? So it was a point in favor of my own validation that it was Yeshua. And then those of you that have been on the calls, and we had an epic call probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that I'm sure some of you were on that call. It's one of those calls I should dig it out, I should make it available, I should make some of those epic calls like that available so that when I refer to it, anyone can listen to it. Because it's kind of paradigm busting. And the call had to do with me putting together the whole thing with the Anunnaki acting like gods, and the Old Testament was populated by Anunnaki, but the Anunnaki had names like Yahweh or Adonai or who was the other one? Jehovah, right? And if you read in between the lines of the Old Testament, you realize that it seemed to me, and this is something people, Michael Challenger actually wrote this in a book, and he drew the conclusion, and when I read it, it seemed intuitively correct, because I'm already aware of the Anunnaki and the things they did. So what Judeo-Christianity thinks of as God in the Old Testament was in fact the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki were apparently the Hebrews, or the beings that were involved as the people, the regular people in Old Testament times, were rebellious, they were hard to manage, they were, they would be doing things to each other that were not right, and there was an attempt to manage them by creating fear that if they do wrong, they're going to get punished. All right? And is the punishment going to be not going to heaven? I mean, punishment causes people to act better. The fear of punishment. That's why we have police and courts and laws, because they punish people. But you wouldn't necessarily think God was punishing people. People punish themselves as well, just by who they are. We all punish ourselves. We punish ourselves, we judge ourselves, we carry patterns from past tracks in our life, and we run those patterns. And even Jesus called me on that, which I played on Sunday, of a pattern that was holding me back. So I came to the conclusion that the Old Testament was prophesizing a Messiah, okay? And if the Old Testament wasn't God, and it was the Anunnaki, then it was the Anunnaki who was prophesizing a Messiah. Now, why would they want to prophesize a Messiah? Well, they would want to prophesize a Messiah because they were trying to create maybe you, they were trying to
you breaking
to create...
up. I can't hear what you're saying. I hear one word, don't hear another.
Really? Terry, can you hear me?
Yes,
Terry?
I can hear you.
I'm not breaking up to you, right?
No.
So, I would suggest, if it sounds like you're missing something important, listen to the replay, because Terry's hearing me on the same line you are, so I can't explain, I don't know, I can't fix it, okay? Let me just check with everyone else.
All callers are unmuted.
Am I breaking up for anyone else?
No,
you're good.
No.
Got it. Oh, I
heard
it.
No.
It too.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
A little bit for me.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I mean, if I'm breaking up, you know, I mean, I could go and recall on Skype. But, you know what? They're probably giving us a hard time to get to the topic, right? This is like really incredible information. So, I had this hypothesis that Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy of the Anunnaki, who was attempting to create a Messiah, perhaps with the idea, even at that time, of creating a one-world government. I don't know. So that Jesus would be king of the world. And that Jesus turned it down. I mean, he started out as a young man being all stopped for this position, and he turned it down and realized what was happening. And he wanted to be a teacher of the common man and not coming down from the top and having everybody worship him. And it's very easy to see how this idea of worship comes in, because people have it hard. People have it tough down here. And it was probably even tougher in those days. And it's like the idea of a Messiah kind of gives a reprieve from people thinking that they've arrived. But it also takes away the power, the self-empowerment that someone should be learning to have. That, I mean, Jesus, in the words of Jesus, you know, there was one thing where he said, these things I do, you can also do, and much more. And that's an incredible statement from a guy who is a Messiah. He didn't say, worship me forever. But at a certain point, he turned from that position. And then Terry Friedman, of course, over and over again, he said, Jesus said that when he was walking, when he and the disciples were walking around and sometimes camping out under trees from one city to the next, they're obviously living rather humbly. And Jesus said, don't tell people I'm the Messiah. Don't tell people I'm the Messiah. And then I asked Yeshua, I said, how did you figure out you were the Messiah? And then he said, well, everybody was telling me that, so I just had to, I'm recreating, reminding myself what he said. I just had to, people had that expectation, so I stopped denying it. But he was certainly not promoting it. And then I told him my idea about it, and I said, does that resonate? And he said, yeah, that was it. So he kind of verified what I said. And then it was really great what he said about Terry. And, you know, I have been, I know Terry really well. I know how Terry is, at least as much as, I should say, as much as another human can know. And she has this beautiful quality of, how would I describe it? It's really important for her to help other people. She doesn't do it to be nice. It's like she can't help herself. It's the way she creates motivation and value in being in a body. And, you know, and some of the things she said, which I don't know if I ever even verified this or asked the Elohim this, but, you know, I did talk to Yeshua, and, you know, when you look at the way the cosmology of the universe, there are all these beings on the other side that want to help, okay? We all, on this side, want to help. When you start getting beyond
the day-to-day rigors of paying the bills and taking care of your children and all of that stuff, particularly if you're a wanderer, there's an innate desire to want to help. But in Terry, that desire is so high, it becomes like a need. It's like I watch her, and when she's not doing that, I go into the space where she doesn't, I can see, I'm afraid she's going to just drop out of the room. She's like more on the other side than on this side. She actually is more on the other side than this side. You know, when somebody asks her about somebody that died, she goes there. She's communing with the person. She's looking at things all the time. You know, Terry, why don't you describe that? I think people probably know it. But if they haven't heard it in black and white, can you share that?
Well, like somebody emails and they say that they need the rent for January and February and they don't know how they're going to make it and everything. And then I don't know. I wish I could send it to them right away, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. or praying that the money's going to suddenly show up for them. Like, how can we make things more harmonized over here for people so that they have an easier time?
I feel the same way. And it's a hard one. I'm trying to figure out an easy way that people can make money. It's like, you know, if you get out of the idea, now I got out of this idea a long time ago. I got out of the idea of a job and that some nice person is just going to pay me money for doing mundane things. And I think that I haven't had my last job since I was in college when I worked for somebody building electronic modules for them in some little office somewhere. But I realize that on one way or another, I've always figured out how to make money out of nothing. And sometimes I did work for someone else, but it was never a job. It was like an independent contractor. And I keep thinking, and I'm experimenting, how can somebody make money with our pendants and all our energy products, which are extremely hot? And it's like, I know how to sell them. I know how to... Selling is not the right word. It's knowing how to... The whole thing is to make somebody curious, not to tell them what it is directly, but make someone curious and almost speak in third person. And I said, can I train people to do this? Because everybody loves these products. You know, they're ending up in all kinds of stores. I was planning, and I'm still planning, in Sedona to go door-to-door. I think I can sell them door-to-door. And maybe I can figure out how to do it so it's easy so someone else could do it. Because these are ways of pulling money out of nothing. You know, you don't need any, how can I say it, fanfare. You don't need fanfare. It's humble. It's ordinary. It's like you have something that almost everyone would like, but how do you get them to know they would like it? If I can crack that nut, then I can tell other people. And I know people would be scared to go door to door, but it's like, it's better to try that and not suffer, break the ice, and fail than not do anything. Because once you can figure out how to do that, you know that you can always make money. You might even make more than you realize, okay? So one day I'm going to do that with Lena. I think if the two of us go door to door, I won't scare people. She's really lovable. And it might take that. It might take two people going door to door. And you'd be surprised if you're just honest and you present yourself honestly, not like you're a professional salesperson, like you knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm Wynn. And you know how hard it is to get jobs these days. My friend has this company, and he has these incredible products that no one ever heard about. So he said, maybe this will help to pay your rent. Why don't you try it? So would you let me just take a minute and tell you about it? And if you're not interested, I won't bother you anymore." You see, that's really honest. And if you say that, you'd be surprised that I can just see how it would work. People would respond to that and say, "Okay, tell me about it." And they're actually doing you a favor. But then you have to tell them about it really well, and there's a good chance they'll make a sale. Not that much money. And in Sedona, they have a peddler's license, believe it or not, for $25 a year, where you get to wear an official Sedona badge. And so you're legal. You're allowed to do it legally. And I'll bet there's lots of other cities that have that that no one ever looked for. So I'm just giving you an example of. And I don't know, how did I bring this up? I don't know. It's just because we want to help people. And it's. I don't feel good. We have become close. And there's got to be some way that we can help some of you that are on the edge. Without, we can't hand out money and just say, "Here, pay your rent. We can't do it. And we need a lot of money in order to promote ourselves so we reach more people on all this stuff. But if some of you that are listening have special talents, email me or Terry. Just email me, and I'll try to feel it out and see if somebody wants to experiment to make something happen like this. And, you open yourself to incredible synchronicity when you put yourself out in a small way. You know, oftentimes, most times when people are trying to make money, they try to get a self-image, they try to be important, they try to be professional. And, I mean, that may work, and then it may not work. Being totally honest and vulnerable can work. And getting back to Yeshua, I mean, I asked Yeshua about Terry. You see, Terry can only function and stay motivated if she's helping somebody. You know, when she's doing customer service and answering the phone and a customer has a problem, I mean, she just melts people most of the time, and I'm amazed. And it's because that's what she did as an angel. And I don't even like to use the word angel, because that brings in all of these connotations. But she was positioned probably for millenniums of time in another dimension where she was helping people cross over. And she calls it the heaven realm. And it's really like a halfway house, because people come from this realm and they end up being all screwed up, even when they're nice people. Really, really good people get all screwed up in this realm. They do. I certainly have gotten all screwed up. Terry has even gotten all screwed up. This realm is filled with potholes. And it takes a lot of mastery to stay out of the potholes. Even when you do things where you've really helped people, you get screwed up, okay? And even Jesus was talking about the incredible. I thought it was very interesting when he talked about the incredible pain he went through on the cross, and how that pain he had to, I'm just remembering what he said, he had to escape the pain. And in escaping the pain, he turned to light, or he energized his entire body in light to get away from the pain. And he's talking about a Tibetan technique to stop your heart and to appear dead. Now you see, this is like controversial stuff, because suddenly the entire religious paradigm of Jesus died for our sins is broken down, okay? And
see, that area is real to me, where I went to a doctor once, and I had the ability to stop my heart, and he was taking my blood pressure, and I was just really curious. I was thinking, what if I stop my heart while he is taking my blood pressure? So I stopped my heart, and he went white in the face, and he started jiggling all the wires. And I said, what's the matter? And he didn't answer. And I said, no, tell me what's the matter. And he said, well, if these figures are correct, you should be dead. And so I said, just a minute. It'll be okay now. And I started my heart, and everything was normal. But I never told him what I did. But it's real to me, that technique.
Where was that?
That was in Irvine, California.
And what doctor was that?
He was a chiropractor. And I forget his name offhand.
Did I know you when you did that?
No. That was before we met.
Yeah. Because I don't remember that.
No,
okay.
I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really controversial, you see, because it kind of takes away some of the traditional religious idea of Jesus. But,
yeah.
You know, the whole religious thing around Jesus, and he kind of agreed to this, was the negative, probably the same Anunnaki or derivative of, using the crucifixion of Jesus to turn him into a symbol and create fear. You know, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Jesus is the one and only way to heaven. And so thus, the entire Jesus phenomena was corrupted. And even the rock group said that, which in that quote that I quote from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, is we came to you in our religion, namely Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion got corrupted. And, you know, I asked the question today because to our sources, and said, did Jesus know he was talking to the rock group? And their answer was, No, he didn't know. He knew that he was in contact with a really high source, and he called that source Father, and it could have been more than one source, and he was getting guidance from that. So that was real, okay? And you know what? We got about 2 minutes here. Let me just, maybe three or four, if the BBS lets us go over. Let's open the lines and see if anyone has any comments on all of this, or if I'm provoking people.
All callers are unmuted.
It all in chant.
Anybody come from a religious background on the line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did any of these things disillusion you about conventional religion?
From time to time, when I've fallen back on a belief system in periods of trouble, spiritually troubled, but I'm basically a mystical pantheist, and I have been ever since I first realized what I was doing here. Although I was raised up as in the Lutheran religion, I just always kind of had a feeling that it was all a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm. I guess we're validating that, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know, the amazing thing is, and I said this, there are people that still find a certain degree of truth in the context of religion, okay? Particularly, I mean, from my own experience, Hispanic Catholics. I always connect with Hispanic Catholics, and they think I'm a Catholic. I don't have to say anything. There's a vibe. They are really tuned into the Christ energy, the Christ consciousness. And somehow they've worked around religion. So I'm sure they have distortions. But next to the distortions, there is really a authentic connection. Okay, so religion can provide a purpose if you don't get caught up in it. And the distortions of it, but most people do on some level. Anyone else want to share something?
The Mormons are kind of like that. Some Mormons are, they seem to have connected with something really, really beautiful, but most of it is, you know, just a belief system that isn't true.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, who's that?
I was listening to Pamela Erlin's channeling on YouTube, and, well, there's more than one, but I was listening to the one that's called The Ascended Master Jesus, and it's an almost three-hour session. And at about 59 minutes in, and I made a note of this because I wanted to go back to it, but Jesus said, because somebody had asked a question that was related, and he said, the Bible was written by the Romans, and that's why there are so many inaccuracies in it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did indicate that it's not all inaccurate. It's just that there are so many inaccuracies in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Okay. And anyone else?
It's also interesting that Jerry Friedman... and Matthew, it's a reincarnation of Matthew, but he had a Roman stance, a Roman belief pattern. And he scripted a bunch of the Bible.
I had the impression he was talking more about the Old Testament, but...
Oh, okay.
That was my impression, though, but that's not necessarily the case, but... anybody that wants to listen to it, I really recommend that session with him. About 59 minutes in, where he says that.
Just do a search on YouTube, Pamela, A-A-R-A-L-Y-N, and Jesus, and you'll find it. Now, I'm not endorsing all of the channelings. I haven't listened to all of them. I'm not sure everyone that she always talks to completely service to other beings. I'm not sure of that. So, but it does seem like she really is bringing in Yeshua. And if that's part
of
your
problem with something.
No way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that I thought it really resonated. It resonated with me. I studied a lot of different religions because I was searching, and I ended up ending up at a spiritualist church. And mm-hmm. I have to say that the teachings are very similar. And mm-hmm. it really resonated with me. So I just want to make that comment.
Okay. Now, there was a guy that said something.
That was John. Oh. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but it never really resonated with me, you know, everything that they said. So I just kept on, you know, looking, you know, one different church after another. And
mm-hmm.
even before I spoke to you, long before that, when I heard you on George Murray Coast to Coast, it just resonated, and I just knew that this was real way before years before we even spoke. I knew it was real, so and it just made sense.
You know what? We got to go over to the Whole Planet Healing call. We're like 7:59. It's going to start in 1 minute, okay? So no more comments now.
I'll close it up.
And we will see you in a minute.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Your conference recording has stopped.